Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of A New Way to Win with the D8 Group. I'm your host, Reba Magulik, and as many of you know, the D8 Group was founded to help organizations and private businesses better understand the federal acquisition process, find ideal fit government contracting opportunities to pursue, and also be able to leverage our firm's business development resources to strategically but ethically position to win. Our show, A New Way to Win, chronicles priorities at the federal government agencies and hot topics in the federal contracting industry today. Our goal really is to provide a platform for meaningful engagement and dialogue between government leaders and the federal contracting industry. So today in our studios, I'm super excited to welcome Mr. Jason Cullum with IBM Global Business Services. Jason is a great friend, and he has a lot to share with us. So before we get started, I'd like to share a few fun facts about Jason, if that's okay with you, Jason.
Absolutely.
I have your permission. So as I mentioned, Jason is an associate partner with IBM Global Business Services. He is also a three-time Federal Health IT 100 awardee, and he's really made a reputation for himself in our community as an expert of CMS IT marketplace. Supporting them not only through IBM, as I mentioned, but a variety of large businesses such as Ventec, GDIT, and Northrop Grumman for over 13 years. Many of the viewers here today are interested in learning how to approach CMS, how to do business with them. They clearly have the largest health IT budget of all three major health IT markets. So we're excited to have you help demystify that for us. But before I turn it over to you, Jason, I also want to mention that you, in addition to everything that you do, you are also a U.S. soccer referee and a devoted family man.
Yeah.
So we definitely want to hear about that later, too.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Jason, thank you again. We're so excited to have you. I really appreciate you making
Glad
the time
to be here.
All right. So first question.
Yes.
What is it, Jason, about the CMS mission that drives you personally?
Yeah, yeah. So you call me an expert, right? It's no pressure there.
It's true. You can
own
it.
it's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, working in the CMS space and living in Baltimore, it's just sort of part of the culture there,
mm-hmm.
right? Between CMS and SSA, you know, down the road, there's this culture and this support system and folks who are really focused on healthcare in the United States, right?
Right.
And especially through the programs that CMS manages,
mm-hmm.
namely Medicare, Medicaid, and CHIP,
mm-hmm.
These are really serving, you know, populations that otherwise may be in trouble, maybe without access to healthcare,
mm-hmm.
Maybe not access to the right healthcare or timely healthcare, right?
Sure.
With Medicaid supporting the elderly, Medicaid supporting low-income
mm-hmm.
Families, and CHIP for supporting vulnerable children,
mm-hmm.
You know, these are very, you know, three classes of people that, you know, need assistance navigating our complex healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to be part of that, you know, I'm not a clinician, I'm not a physician, I'm not out there providing care,
mm-hmm.
but what I'm hoping to do is to provide the systems and the functionality and the applications and the foundation
okay.
so that those people who are on the front lines, you know, delivering care could do their jobs, you know, better, faster, cheaper, stronger, what have you. But, you know, even before I found my way into the CMS space, I've always been in health IT or IT
right.
for health. And it's just a passion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what makes you so good at it. That passion is genuine and that comes across. Today, can you give us a little bit more detail on what your exact role is and how you're supporting CMS today?
Yeah, so with my role at IBM, I wear two hats.
Okay.
First hat is IBM has a number of contracts, prime and sub, across CMS,
mm-hmm.
and I'm there to make sure we're successfully delivering the mission. And Sometimes that's working with the clients, better understand their goals and mm-hmm. what outcomes they want to get. Sometimes that's working with our program teams to help them to maybe understand, okay, this system that we're putting in feeds this application, which then does this down the line. So understanding of the landscape
picture, really.
And the big picture that, again, oftentimes in IT, we kind of think we're building systems and platforms, mm-hmm. but potentially we're building systems that help deliver care to these, you know, vulnerable populations that I mentioned. So working with our clients, working with our teams to mm-hmm. be successful, and, you know, there's different measures of success, right?
That sounds like a very big role. And that's just only one of the two roles.
That's one of the two roles. The other aspect is identifying other opportunities in CMS where
new
IBM
opportunities
could provide value.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, I don't like the term sales because I don't consider myself a salesperson. I consider myself more of like a problem solver, someone who's trying to bring solutions to pain points.
Sure.
But of course, you know, in our industry, people use the term sales. So you know, that's the other aspect is identifying opportunities and contracts where we're going to bid, or maybe we're going to sub, or maybe we're going to write a white paper because we have a particular point of view on artificial intelligence, for example. And of course, though, the magic really is getting the sort of the growth-oriented people and the delivery-oriented people on the same page.
Is that a hard job?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no, right? Uh-huh. Because oftentimes, as I said, you know, peer technologists are building systems that work for technologists, right? They're not necessarily understanding how maybe the physician would interact with that system, right? So, you know, we use terms like UX, UI, or human-centered design, right? By no means am I an expert in any of those topics. But what I try to do is try to facilitate conversation, try to facilitate understanding, trying to get people sort of speaking the same language.
Are you trying to capture the voice of the customer for the technicians?
And that's exactly it. It's bringing the perspective of CMS to the table, right? And very rarely will you ever hear me say, well, CMS thinks that or CMS does that. Because CMS is a collection of centers and offices.
Right.
Center for Quality, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, Center for Program Integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Each of these centers has different initiatives and different ideas on how to get from point A to point B.
Sure.
Right? Offices, Office of Financial Management, Office of Minority Health, Office of Strategic Initiatives. They may have unto themselves their own sort of ideas and thoughts and plans. And so, you know, it's very challenging to get, you know, that one CMS point of view.
Right. Or anybody who's saying that, you kind of have to question or take it with a grain of salt. Like, CMS says this, CMS says that.
Exactly right.
That's not...
Exactly right. And I'm not trying to do it from a, you know, well, I've been doing this for 13 years, I know what I'm talking about kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really just about bringing a perspective and a point of view to say, hey, whenever we're building this platform or building this system, let's make sure we have the end goal in mind.
Right.
And sometimes that's easy and other times not so much.
Not so easy. Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, it kind of bleeds nicely into my next question. And I think this is really gets to the heart of what people want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Let's imagine you're a new entrant.
Sure.
You're on the outside looking in. But you've got a darn good technology, and you know that this makes a difference for exactly that population that you mentioned, Jason. What advice would you give those companies that are somewhat on the periphery or outside looking in as a way to best get to understand CMS and their needs with the intention to introduce a new technology?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a question that, you know, I get a lot.
Right.
And I know people in my circle, right?
Uh-huh.
People in my little network of individuals get a lot, right? Is there a perfect answer or a magic wand that I could wave and say, this is it, this is how you do it?
Well, especially since CMS is not that singular entity like you just described.
Exactly.
It's made up of so many different entities.
Exactly right. And so what happens oftentimes is, firm A has developed this solution and they're thinking to themselves, this would be great for CMS. And so they just start, knocking on doors, mm-hmm. right? And talking about their great capabilities and we could do this and we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes forgetting to realize there are a lot of other people doing the same exact thing you're doing.
So hard to be differentiated.
But that's the key. You mm-hmm. have to figure out what's your differentiator. You mm-hmm. have to figure out is what is unique about you? What is different about you? How are you different mm-hmm. than those other people knocking on the door? And where I think the differentiator could potentially be
okay.
is not focused on the technology,
mm-hmm.
not focused on what's in the black box,
mm-hmm.
but how can it be applied to solve a very real problem
mm-hmm.
CMS is facing?
Okay.
Right? Read CMS's documentation on their strategic initiatives, right?
Mm-hmm.
CMS is putting out more information around where they're going than ever before, right?
But Jason, let me ask you, is that information a good reflection? Because honestly, there are times, and I don't mean about CMS, but there are times when I read these reports and I'm like, was this outsourced to a consulting firm to put this
yeah.
nice plan together?
I get you.
And, if I pitch to this plan and it doesn't resonate, you know what I'm saying? Like, is that plan a pretty good reflection of where their heart is?
It's one piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
Right? And that's really what it is. Again, there's no, magic bean you're going to mm-hmm. plant and sprout and grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get educated on the nuances, the differentiators that are CMS. So
mm-hmm.
what are those strategic initiatives? What are those things that they're really focused on,
right?
For that particular time period. So that's one aspect of
mm-hmm.
it, right? Aspect two is you have to go to where the CMS people are. So whether
is interesting.
Yeah, so whether it's at the NCMA events,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether it's at
And for our listeners, NCMA is the National Contract Management Association.
That's correct. And on Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, time flies and when you're having fun, but the head of the contracting shop as well as the head of the small business office at CMS did a presentation around their 2020 initiatives for all of the industry to hear,
mm-hmm.
right? So again, you're getting an aspect. What are the terms that they're using?
Right.
Where is their focus? Where do they want to go, right?
And a lot of that is reading between the lines, too.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
But what starts to happen over time, right, you're reading the GAO reports or the strategic initiative reports at a CMS. You're going to events where CMS people are. You're
mm-hmm.
hearing what they're saying. You're going to industry events, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to, happy hours or companies oftentimes put on vendor days where
right.
they allow folks to come in and, hey, tell us about what you do, right? So you're taking information from there. Maybe you hire a consultant, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of consultants out there that are experts in industry or
right.
they're ex-CMS people,
mm-hmm.
and then they bring a perspective. But you have to do your homework. That's really where this goes. You can't just rush in the door
right.
and say, hey, look at this great thing I have. It has to be, I've done my homework,
mm-hmm.
I've talked to people, I've vetted it out, and based upon all of that, I think I got something.
Right.
right? But then,
okay.
now you're in the room.
Okay, now what?
Right? There's really a key mantra that I think you have to take with you.
What's that?
That is, show them, don't tell them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Everything works great on PowerPoint slides.
Right.
Right? Oh, it works perfectly.
You throw a few pretty pictures in, some animation.
Yeah, right. I got this interesting looking architecture diagram, and I got these screenshots that
right.
look very pretty, but it's not meaningful. It's not tangible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you show them, hey, here's a link to this application, feel free to go in there. Here's a demo,
mm-hmm.
right? hey, I was doing something at the FDA and the FDA gave me permission to allow you access to see mm-hmm. what they're doing.
Will they look at that?
Oftentimes they do.
Okay.
Yeah, because more often than not, so you have to be a little bit cautious, right? Just because something worked at the FDA doesn't mean it's going to work at CMS, right? There's different architectures and different components that, mm-hmm. that go into building these systems. But if you could get them to see the vision, if you mm-hmm. could get them to see the concept, then it's more than just words on a PowerPoint slide.
Right.
And that's where it really makes it meaningful. So, mm-hmm. again, if you do all these things, can I promise you success? No. But do I believe you'll increase your chances of success by doing your homework and doing your research? Absolutely so.
100%. It's so in line with our philosophy at D8 Group too. We talk about this all the time with our clients. It's art plus science. And it's so easy to skip past the homework piece, but for the size of the opportunities that are at stake,
yeah.
You got to work for that.
Yeah. And you know, maybe you want to come in and you know, you've seen this, you know, $50 million award or this mm-hmm. $100 million award and say, well, why not me? Why can't I be that company?
Right.
Well, several
years invested probably, right?
Several years
getting
invested.
To that point.
Maybe it started on a $200,000 pilot.
Yeah.
Maybe it started on a free, I use the term loosely because you know, mm-hmm. things aren't free in the government, but maybe started on a low-cost pilot
right.
where you were, you know, taking time to vet out the idea and
mm-hmm.
Build the relationship. And then maybe that pilot turns into that,
yes.
that contract. But what we're also seeing, too, is, you know, back in the days in CMS when it was ESD, right?
Mm-hmm.
ESD was pretty much the game in town from an IT contracting perspective, right? There are 8 primes,
mm-hmm.
Large primes, 8 small business primes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was these huge awards going out for this, for infrastructure application. What we're seeing now is much smaller contracts, those bigger contracts being broken up into smaller pieces.
Okay.
So what may have been a $50 million award previously is maybe $3 to $10 million awards
mm-hmm.
now, right? You're taking the contracts, you're putting it into more consumable bite-sized pieces and also getting a cost reduction at the same time. Now, yes, this leads to more administrative work on the back end,
sure.
making sure those 3 contractors are in sync, but nonetheless, maybe that smaller piece
mm-hmm.
is better off for the contractor. Because now, instead of trying to deliver a $50 million contract,
right.
they're maybe trying to deliver something that's 10 and something a little bit more manageable.
And especially if you're new, get in, do the work, learn, understand the environment,
right.
and you know, prepare yourself for the next big thing.
Right. Team, be a subcontractor.
Right.
Come in, learn the language, learn the lingo, learn the cadence.
It's
right?
definitely the long game. And I think it's... people lack the patience for it. And I get it. We
I
all
get
have
it.
A number on our head. We've got to deliver these numbers this year.
Right.
But I always say to clients, it is a longer game in the federal government space, but it is so worth it. When you succeed.
Yeah. Again, I abhor the word sales, but the cycle is 18 to 24 months.
Right.
And because it takes that time to really get things off the ground. And yeah, a lot of firms come rushing in,
mm-hmm.
you know, as you mentioned, from a budget perspective, you know, CMS is the biggest piece of the HHS budget.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, oh, let me go there.
Right.
But not really have a sense of who they are and their branding and what do they want to be when they grow up.
Right.
Right. And companies that fail to plan and fail to think like that and consider the big perspective often make decisions in the short term,
mm-hmm.
but that's not leading to longer term success.
Right, right. No, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And I think you've actually answered my next question, but I'll go ahead and ask if there are any, you mentioned some trends, you know,
mm-hmm.
these big contracts breaking up into smaller ones.
Yep.
Are there other noteworthy trends that you're seeing at CMS?
Yeah. So, you know, when you speak of trends, there's trends across the board, right? From, you know, we're seeing more influence of EHRs and how to get access to EHRs and how
those... And for our listeners, EHRs are electronic health records.
Yeah, I kind of forget sometimes I throw these acronyms around.
Well, me too.
Like everybody knows what I'm talking about. And then I get these weird looks sometimes from people. And then they're like, oh, okay, yeah, sorry. but it's our own lingo, right? And this is the cadence that I'm talking about that, you know, people need to understand, right?
Because, agree.
You know, when you're walking in and maybe you've been asking for this client meeting and you finally get it and they figure out very quickly that you don't speak the language.
Right.
I don't think your chances of success are going to be very high.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, so we're seeing a lot of trends, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of it is around value-based payment. Traditionally, CMS has been very fee-for-service oriented. You know, you go to the doctor provides a treatment, bills Medicare for the treatment, Medicare sends him or her a check. Mm-hmm. Okay. But was that treatment successful? Did that treatment lead to a better health outcome for that individual?
Is that what value-based
exactly
means?
Right. It's right. Okay. It's the idea of we're paying for performance, we're paying for value. You know, should physicians be incentivized if their beneficiaries get healthier versus maybe ones that aren't providing as good a quality of care? Now, there's a lot of nuance in that, and how do you measure it? And again, we're talking about populations that may be at risk already. And so, is there a large expected swing in healthcare if you're looking across an entire Beni population?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it gets complicated, right?
I see.
So we're seeing a lot of that. And that trickles down into systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you build analytics to support value-based care?
Okay.
How do you build systems that may, all right, if we have, say, from a fraud, waste, and abuse perspective, fraud, waste, and abuse in the fee-for-service side, well, what does fraud, waste, and abuse look like on the value side?
Okay.
And then how do those two inform each other, right?
These are some of the questions that they're hoping to get.
Percolating.
Okay, got
exactly.
You. So this could be an opportunity for industry as well.
Oh, exactly right. And we're seeing RFIs.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing challenges to these very topics to say,
CMS is reaching out to industry and saying, hey, bring your ideas.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly right. Now, oftentimes, in an RFI, maybe you have 10 pages to respond. And how do you respond in 10 pages of text with your...
To a massive problem that
exactly,
they've been trying to solve
exactly
for decades.
Right. And you know, that's the thing, too, is a lot of times firms try to be all things to all people versus really understanding who they are, what subject matter expertise they have, and honing in on that.
So pick a sliver is what you're saying.
That's right. Pick something that you're confident in, that you have, I don't want to say past performance, but you have experience in.
Sure, sure.
And can speak intelligently about and have an outcome in mind, right? Where do we see this going?
Right.
Where does this end up? What is the 1, 3, 5, 10-year plan for what you're discussing? That way it makes it much more meaningful.
Right.
But back to the trends topic. So the value-based care, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see an increased focus on program integrity.
Okay.
CMS as well as, VA and other entities, are starting to really... put more focus on program integrity. I think.
You tell us what that means? What does program integrity mean?
So, unfortunately, within our system, we have folks that are cheating the system, right? So, for
fraud,
example,
waste, and abuse. You mean
exactly like, right?
So fake IDs to get free insurance, that sort of thing.
Well, so you have fraud, waste, and abuse in a number of different aspects.
Okay.
You have it from the provider side.
Mm-hmm.
So in the example I gave you earlier where a physician saw a beneficiary, performed a service, sent in the bill got paid. Well, what if they send in the bill without actually providing the service?
Oh, my.
Or what if they send in a bill for a different service than they actually performed?
Ooh.
Right? And then think about now I'm... a criminal, a bad actor, who's has purchased a list of beneficiary IDs off the black market, and now through my sort of electronic submission of claims, and I'm just sending claims in, right, hoping that they get paid.
So program integrity, that's trying to imbue these programs with integrity, make them more stout to try to eliminate these type of behaviors?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
CMS generally, from a fraud, waste, and abuse perspective, was following a pay and chase model. So they would pay the money.
And then chase it
down
later.
And then afterwards determine that this money should not have been paid. And fraud, waste, and abuse, I mean, I don't want to go into the rabbit hole. I could talk about it all day. But
maybe just for our listeners, you could give us an idea of how big the problem is.
So the funny thing is, no one's really sure
exactly how big it is.
How big it is. But you know, CMS pays out trillions of dollars.
Trillions.
So
sounds pretty big.
Imagine even if 1% of that was tied to fraud, waste, and abuse.
Yeah.
You're talking about a very big portion of the Medicare trust fund.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so so really what they're trying to do now is move from a pay and chase model, which is effective to a point, and shifting left.
Okay.
Right? So it's
trying
really
to catch it a little bit before.
Trying to catch it before the money even goes out the door.
There you go.
Right?
Okay.
Because once the money's gone, it becomes very difficult to track down, right?
I'm sure.
It gets shipped to, you know, overseas accounts that are untraceable.
Mm-hmm.
It gets buried in the backyard. there's been cases of you know, individuals committing fraud, waste, and abuse with, you know, trunks full of cash buried in their backyard.
Wow, sounds like a movie.
Yeah, it's a very fascinating topic, and,
right,
and actually one that I'm very passionate about.
Okay.
Of my 13 years at CMS, program integrity is the area that I've supported for the largest time, because it's very interesting.
I was just going to say, it's very, very interesting. So,
yeah.
So Jason, I'm going to shift gears here a little bit.
Okay.
I want to, so we've both been business development executives,
sure,
in this industry for a long, long time. A lot of people look up to you, admire you. I want to hear some of your thoughts on, for those people who are looking to grow their career in business development,
mm-hmm,
in our GovCon industry, what are some common mistakes that you see them make in their career and in their personal life that you would advise them against?
Yeah. So I think the things that folks like you and I and probably, you know, friends we have in common,
mm-hmm,
people we know in common from industry, we've realized that this is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes.
Right?
That's a great way to put it.
I think too many newer sort of, you know, business development type / salespeople come in and, you know, they want to hit the ground running, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to go meet with this person and meet with this person, and I'm going to win a contract,
mm-hmm,
you know, next month or this quarter. And yeah, maybe it happens, but that's a very small percentage, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people who are looking long-term, right, the people who are focused in on sustainable, responsible growth,
mm-hmm,
often the ones that are going to end up being more successful. When you're chasing a dollar in,
mm-hmm,
front of you, you're probably going to make poor decisions, and you're probably not going to do business the right way,
mm-hmm,
versus being more strategic about what you do, thinking about, you know, your reputation,
mm-hmm,
thinking about your company's reputation,
sure,
and thinking for the long term. But you know, the marathon versus a sprint, I think, is the biggest mistake.
Mm-hmm. So what about on the personal side of things?
Personal side, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's your family and friends,
mm-hmm,
that are going to be there for you.
Right.
You know, folks who've been doing this for a while know the highs are highs, but the lows are low.
There's a price you pay, right?
There's a
to
price
be a superstar.
You pay. There's long hours. There's, mm-hmm, trips to conferences.
Yep.
There's, you know,
the dinners, the happy
hours. The dinners,
hours.
Writing proposals to 1 a.m.
Right.
Right. Being on calls, you know, to 11 o'clock at night explaining why maybe this contract didn't go your way.
Trying to drive and eat at the same time.
Trying to drive and eat. You know, my...
I think I did that on the way over here.
My previous boss used to joke that his office was his car.
That's what I always say. Yeah. I'm like, hey, I have a four-window office.
That's right. And so I think it's the folks who get their priorities out of order oftentimes don't last, right?
They get burnt out.
They don't have that support system there. Mm-hmm. They kind of maybe ignore their friends or the family. But at the end of the day, you know, if your employer comes and says, hey, Jason, you know what? Mm-hmm. You had a good run. It's not working out. We're going another direction.
Yeah.
Who are you going to go home to?
Right.
It's those people that are there. That's your network.
And hopefully they're still there.
That's still there.
Right.
And it's so important. And, you know, have my priorities always been properly aligned? Probably not. I mean, I'm, you know, confident enough to admit that. But I think over the last couple of years, I've really made a concerted effort to get my priorities in order. You know, spending time with my kids. They're growing up faster than I can.
Right.
Keep track of some time. I'm not involved as much in soccer as I used to be. You know, soccer for the last 30 years or more has been a very important part of my life.
Right.
I don't actively referee anymore.
Okay.
I spend more of my time on the administrative side of soccer refereeing.
You still keep a toe in there.
Keeps a toe in there. Mm-hmm. It allows me to do what I'm passionate about, but really kind of gets that work-life balance better in line.
Right.
And you know, it's sad when you see people who have those sort of misaligned.
Oh, yeah.
And you know,
and I would say that's a lot of us.
Is it a lot of us? Because it's very easy to say, you know, okay, I'm going to go to my kid's recital on Friday, right? But then that call comes in where, hey, I want to talk to you about teaming, about, you know, this particular opportunity.
It's just so intriguing.
The art of the possible.
Right, right.
You know, but. You know, they, and if they want to talk at 2 o'clock and the recital is at 2 o'clock, what do you do? Well, the old Jason took the phone call.
Right.
Right. The new Jason says, hey, I've got something really important at 2 o'clock. Can we meet at 1? Can we meet at 3? Hey, how about this? I'll buy you lunch on Monday and let's sit down and have a chat.
Good for you, Jason.
Yeah.
Well done, my friend. Very, very good.
Now, I'm not perfect.
But still, you're getting there. You're getting there.
You're getting there.
Any closing thoughts or advice?
Wow.
Personally or professionally?
That's like so open-ended, right?
Maybe around CMS in particular?
Maybe for
that company that just is about to give up.
So.
In pursuing work at CMS.
I get it. You know, for example, from an IT perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Spark has been a major vehicle for the acquisition of IT services. There are 150 companies on Spark, 110 smalls,
a little bit of competition,
and 40 larges. And so I could see how very daunting it could be to look at that list and say, "How do I win in and amongst all of these companies if I don't have the relationship, if I don't have the experience, if I don't have, right?" But at the end of the day, that's what keeps us going, right? Is finding that one thing, right? Finding that one conversation or that one bit of knowledge to keep it going. And, right, I don't own a business. I understand the dynamics and the difficulties there. But at the end of the day, I think it's the passionate people, people who are in business and conduct business the right way, people who are focused in on, you know, their reputation. Like, karma is going to take care of them in the long term. You know, and I'm convinced it's the people who maybe don't do things the right way or who are, you know,
shortcuts.
They are taking shortcuts. Karma is going to catch up to them.
Yeah.
Right? And it may not be tomorrow or next month or but it's eventually going to happen. And, you know, I think if you really focus on you know, doing good work, being with working with good people,
mm-hmm.
good things are going to result.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Great. Jason, thank you.
Thank you.
Great, great conversation.
This has been a bit cathartic.
I'm ready for a nap after this. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for joining us on this episode of A New Way to Win. Please join us again next time. Thank you.